Welcome to Nothing But the Truth with David L. Johnston.
Our subject today is walking in newness of life. And so I want, first of all, you to see it where it is in Scripture. And this is about water baptism. Know ye not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into death? In other words, when we went down in the water, it was a symbol of laying aside and dying to the old life. Amen. Death. And then, like we are buried with him by baptism unto death, the other side of baptism is when you come up out of the water, like Christ was raised from the dead. So we come back out of the water, and this symbolizes the resurrection. And so we are dead to the old life. We come up out of the water as a symbol of resurrection to the new life. And now here is what the Scripture says. In the same way that we were buried in death and we were and like Christ was resurrected, the same parallel, so we also should walk in newness of life. And so what I want to do is spend a few moments on this whole idea of newness of life. But before I do, I want to tell you a little bit about baptism. As you know, this is the next book coming out in a series of books, and it's called There's a Time to Kill and a Time to Heal. And I'm about to give you an inside page and see some of the artwork. And here it is. You recognize the actors here. This is Will Cook, and this is Pastor Joe baptizing in the dirty St. John's River right near Mayport. Of all the places, the dirtiest part of the river, I think it is. But I wanted you to see, this was an excuse for me to show you one of the pages out of the book. And so the artwork, by the way, through the rest of the book, is just it's all military, and it's an amazing piece of artwork from beginning to end. But it's about baptism. And so here again is what the Scripture is saying. In the same way in that we were buried with Christ and there was a death to our old life, so we come up as a symbol of resurrection, even like Christ was raised from the dead, and we are raised to something very unusual, a resurrected life, that we should walk in newness of life, new. And so I've learned to really like the word new. And so let me just tell you a little bit, and the diagram is in your notes. Let's suppose this is you. It certainly doesn't look like me. And this is on a timeline. And what this is the time when Jesus first came into your life. Do you remember that? When Jesus came into your life, something brand new happened to you. Remember, old things passed away and everything became new. Everything became new. That happened. And then time has gone by, and you're a little farther along the timeline now. And here's the problem most of us have to live with, is we're always looking back to this time when this new event happened to us. When, in fact, what God wants us is to live as new today as we were new back then. In fact, this walking in newness of life means to, no matter where you are going forward, is that we are experiencing the same newness every day of our lives. So being a Christian is no longer a matter of history. It is a matter of present day walking in a condition that is transformative and as powerful as the very day when you first were converted to Christ. So this is what we mean by walking in newness of life. That every day, things are coming to you from heaven. Something is entering your spirit from heaven. The Holy Spirit is working in you. You are walking in the Spirit. You are living in the Spirit. Spiritual things as new today as they were the day you became a Christian. So, this is the design that we were given, is that we should walk in this newness of life. So that everything's new all the time. In fact, the old gets kind of old, for the lack of a better word. Now, to understand this again, another scripture. So we've been delivered that we should serve in this newness of spirit. And so this renewal, this new we should be as excited about the Lord today as we were the day we got saved. And probably more so. And the reason is this, that the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more under the perfect day. It just keeps getting gooder and gooder all the time. That's what the Christian life is supposed to be like. So what we want to do today is we want to talk about how can we stay in this revitalized, renewed condition every single day, especially walking into this new year. So in this ongoing walk with the Lord in newness, we want to know how to do that. But there's the first few principles we should catch up. And the number one is that realize that every day is a new day. Every day is a new day when you're walking with the Lord. I mean, every day is brand new. We no longer live in a condition where the past is allowed to affect our present. That is called the doctrine of remission. The old is prevented from damaging the present. And so we live in this, the potential of every day being exactly new. In fact, we understand that the mercies of the new of the Lord are new every morning. In fact, I think we sang parts of that today. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because, look at this, His compassions fail not. Watch this now. And they are new every morning. And notice the tag on here. Great is thy faithfulness. So what we've got here is a faithful God who every day has something new for you. In terms of energy, in terms of vision, in terms of accomplishment, in terms of development, newness comes from the Lord, and it's because His mercies are new every morning. Every morning is a fresh start, a fresh chance, and we are to be walking conscious through that new day, receiving new things. Life was never meant to be static, but dynamic. In other words, it's not a standstill, sit still condition. It's we're always going onward and upward and growing and developing. In fact, one scripture puts it this way, that we are to be moving from one glory unto another. And so every day should be more glorious than the day before because we walk in this absolute contact with God and this newness, and our hearts are exposed to Him on a daily basis, and He's as real by His Holy Spirit in us today as He was the day you first became a Christian. So His mercies are new every day. And so we're always singing new. In fact, it's amazing because there's a whole lot of scriptures I could probably have brought in 7 or 10 to you. But He had put a new song in our mouth. Even praise, and how often the scriptures talk about singing to the Lord a new song. It's a new thing happening all the time. And so I don't want to tell you my singing habits necessarily, because sometimes they aren't very musical. They're just noisy. And that's okay too, because the scriptures that make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And so when I get in the shower, it's pretty noisy. And it isn't the running of the water. I mean, it's a singing new song. And you know what? Remember that great verse over in the New Testament in Ephesians where it says, be not drunk with wine, because this is the artificial deal, right? But wherein is success? But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. So here in this newness every day, we ought to be singing every day new songs. Now I don't know if you're timid. If you are, the Lord, I think, will heal you of that. And you can get set free so that you can be sing. If we are not singing, there's something stagnant about our condition. So we learn to keep on singing. He has put a song in our heart. And it's a new song. And now, He's forever bringing things into our lives that are new. Look at this. Behold, the old stuff, the former things, they're past. It's over with. And God says, and new things do I declare. In fact, even before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Here is God saying, on a daily basis, I want you walking in newness, and I'm going to tell you some new stuff today that you didn't know yesterday. I'm going to show you a new way of handling issues today that you didn't know yesterday. I'm going to show you the new ways of victory today that you didn't have before. Every day in walking with the Lord is about newness, and He reveals new things to us. And then we have to be willing to walk in the new stuff. And so we're commanded, don't remember the old stuff. Don't pitch camp on the old stuff. And look at this. And neither consider the things that are old. Watch this now. Because God says, I will do a new thing. I want to do a new thing in you every single day this coming year. I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. It's going to come out of you. It's going to be in you. It's going to be part of your life. It shall spring forth. And shall you? Do you think this will happen and you won't know about it? He wants us to know that all kinds of new stuff from Him is happening. Because following Jesus is not a static, theoretical formula that we adhere to, or a theological system. It is a vital connection with God, moment by moment, moment by moment, every day, all day, and there's never a moment that we are without Him. And that goes on to say, now watch this, when God is going to do a new thing in you, what's it going to look like? And watch what He says, I will even make a way in the wilderness. So I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your financial condition is. I don't know what your business situation is. I don't know what your domestic and family. I don't know what wilderness you are in, if you are. But this new thing that God wants to do in us every day is to show us a way through whatever wilderness you're having to deal with. If it's the raising of children, if it has to do with getting your finances in order, if it has to do with your business, if it has to do with your marriage, He wants you to have solutions. And so He says, today, a new day, I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to show it to you. It's going to spring forth in you. And it's going to be like I'm making a way in your wilderness. So the wilderness is still there, but now you're going to know the way through it. And look what else He says. It's going to be like a way in the wilderness, and it's going to be like having a river in the desert, where it's dry and parched and there's no drink, and perishing is the only option, it seems. And He says, but what the new thing is going to be like in you, it's going to be like a refreshing. It's going to be like a river in the desert, and there'll be plenty for you to drink and to feast upon. And we got to be desirous of this living in newness every day of our lives. Now, this newness has to get right inside us into our very spirit. In fact, this is what He promised to do. I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And this is the wonderful thing about God. He didn't just begin His involvement in your life at conversion to Christ. He wants it to be a perpetual, everyday contact, as real, as vital, as meaningful, as substantive, as functional as it ever was every single day. And He wants to do it in our hearts, and He does it in our spirits. He said, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. And I'm going to change your heart around. I'm going to get the stones out of your heart. I'm going to get the hardness out of your heart. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And here's why. So now you will find it easy to walk in my statutes. you will find it really simple to keep my ordinances and to do them. And guess what? This on a daily basis, God says that we shall be His people and He will be our God. And so we live in this newness every single day of our lives. Now, sometimes what we have been can prevent the new. If we are satisfied with the old, we probably won't care about the new. So Jesus spake a parable unto them. And actually, there's two parts to the parable, and somebody better than I would know how this really works, because I don't do much sewing. But here's what the Lord said. No man, and I don't think men do this anyhow, I should have said no woman, puts a piece of new garment upon an old. So if you got this old worn out cloth and it's getting holes in, you put a new one over it, it doesn't work too good. Because then both and the old and the new make it tear. And the piece that was taken out of the new doesn't agree with the old. And so Jesus is saying these old and the new just don't fit together. It's not enough to have a history with God. You need a present with God. And then the second illustration. No man puts new wine into an old bottle. Also, do not. Else what happens is that the new wine will burst the bottle and be spilled, and the bottles will perish as well. So watch the illustration now. God wants to put a new you together every day. And He wants to pour new things into you every day. But if you stick with the old, it won't work because the new would blow the old all apart. It just won't fit the old pattern, won't fit the old value system, won't fit the old limitations that we had. So the old prevents the new. In fact, the new wine must be put into new bottles so they both are preserved. So God, in order to do new things in us, has to do some new things in our very spirit so we can handle them. Now, here's the problem. No man who, having drunk the old wine, straightway desires the new. He thinks the old is better. Change doesn't come easy to most of us. And so, look at this. The man, well, I like the way it was. I like the way it was. Doesn't understand that the new is not only new, but improved. Doesn't know how much better the new life is today with God than what you had 2 years ago. So we resist this change. We resist change. And because we resist change, sometimes we don't get to live or walk in this newness of life. So where we were, what we were, prevents the new. And then, here's the problem now, or the solution, is we have to deal with the old in order to have the new. Look at this now. Purge out the old. Purge out the old leaven so that you can become a new lump. To have what's new, we need to let go of what is old. Now, this is true of almost every dimension of life, whether spiritual, social, domestic, financial, marital. The old hinders the new. To walk in this newness of life, we need to be able to let go. In fact, we need to take action and actually, look at this now, purge out the old so that you can live the new. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want to live exactly next year what you lived last year? Is life supposed to be simply a cycle of repeating the same thing all the time? reminds me of an illustration I used some time ago about a man who applies for a job. And he fills out the forms, and he was supposed to come back for the next interview after they looked at his evaluation. And so they brought him back for the second review, to the second meeting with the human resources department. And as he sat there in front of the HR officer, the HR officer looked at his test, and this is what he said. He said, "On your application, you reported that you have 7 years' experience at this given job. But our tests reveal that you have 1 year's experience seven times. Do you know that it's possible as a Christian to have 1 year's experience and keep repeating it for 40 years? No growth, no development, no new conquering, no new meaning, no new excitement, no new vitality, just repeating the cycle. I doubt there's a person here who wants to just keep for the next years of their life doing what you've done already." That brings up the old cliche, and it's become cliche now. If you do what you've always done, you get what you've always got. Walking in newness of life means change. It means we're going to deal with the old, with its limitations, and no longer let them intrude to the present. It means we're going to move on in our development. We're going to mature. We're going to grow forward. We're going to conquer new territories. We're going to achieve new goals. We're going to climb new mountains, so to speak, and cross new oceans. Conquer new territories. But if we, for whatever reason, view the old as it's okay and I'm just going to keep doing the same thing, you will not only experience severe boredom, but worlds that are being waiting for you to conquer will stay unconquered. Marriage will be stagnated. Children, oh, they'll grow up physically. But we won't have the new developments and the skills that enable us to input them. Critical years of their lives. It's no accident that God places babies in families. I mean, he could have had baby factories. You know, could have had one in every state or one in every county, I don't know. And you put some stuff in there and crank it a few times and out would come a baby. But God had a specific plan of bringing new birth through you and setting that child in your environment. The parent that is not willing to be renewed every day is going to thwart the growth and development of the child. The home is the crucible of life. It's where all of life lessons are learned. So show me a husband who has not conquered anger with his wife, and I'll show you sons who will not conquer anger either. Show me a husband that doesn't love his wife, I'll show you a son who has no idea how to treat a woman. show me a wife who doesn't respond to her husband's leadership, and I'll show you a daughter who has no clue what it means to be married successfully. One of the great tragedies of our day is our culture has become so stagnant in terms of true human development that our children pay the price. If we're going to walk in this newness of life, which is God's intentions for each of us, then we have to take an action. We have to purge out the old and replace the old with the new as we develop forward. So the question now becomes, how shall we do that? How shall we get function with God here like we had function with God here? And so that's the question. How do we walk in newness of life? Now, at this point in time, I could have gone to any probably one of 40 passages of scriptures. I chose an unusual one from the book of Job. And so I want to show you the four things you can do to be able to walk in the newness of life. Here it is. Purge out the old so you can be the new lump. So number one is we need to let God regularly show us in what ways we have been wrong. Because if we don't find out what's wrong, we'll never fix it. So what have we done wrong? Now look at the text. He showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. They got so much of them going on, this trouble. Now, we all understand it, I'm sure, this law of harvest, what you sow, you reap. If we're doing things the wrong way, they're going to cause consequences repetitiously going on in the future. With our marriages, with our children, with our businesses, with our finances, with every area of our life. So what God does, here's one of the things I love about God, and I know there's 10,000 plus of them. And someday I would just like to start writing all the things I love about God down. But one of the things I love about God is that when he shows me where I've gone wrong, he does it so gently, but forcefully. If this piece of paper represented some sin that I had done, some wrong I had done, God does not take that thing and rub my face in it. Instead, see, he deals with us according to his character. He's not a condemner. The Holy Spirit's not a condemner. He's what? Comforter. He doesn't come with pointed finger accusing and damning you. He'll let you know what's wrong. But when he speaks to you, it's like a father with a son or a daughter in whom he delights. And that's the discipline, but the love factor is so predominant. So, how does this apply to walking in the newness of life? It means that on a daily basis we allow him. We give him time and space to, David, that conversation you had with your wife, or what you said to the salesperson, or he comes to show us our transgressions. So the first thing is to be willing to expose ourselves to this wonderful being of God. And you know, if he was like the devil, you would want his opinion. But He loves you. And love conducts itself lovingly. And so He comes and instead of condemning us, He convicts us. How tragic to live without being convicted of what you do that's wrong. That is a terrible condition to be in. It's described in the book of Ephesians and also in the book of Romans. Here's the phrase. Who being past feeling have given themselves over. You know, it's possible to so defile our consciences that our consciences don't bother us anymore. And by the way, it is possible, that rare these days, but it's possible that someone can make their conscience far too sensitive so they think everything's wrong when things are not wrong. The conscience, in order to accurately adjudicate our conduct, must be tuned to the moral laws of God. We cannot allow our conscience to be, what the Bible says, defiled. So this newness of life begins with allowing God on a daily basis to lovingly expose what I'm doing wrong that needs to be changed. That's where it starts. And then, look what Scripture says. He opens their ear to discipline. Now, most people, some of you already close your ears. It's not a word we like to hear about. Disciplines. But there are disciplines. So God not only shows us where we went wrong, but watch this now. The way you overcome a wrong is to develop a new discipline. Huh? Now, of course, this pastor could have spent the next 2 hours going through a litany of disciplines like praying and reading the Bible, etc. But what I did is I decided just to name one. And this is it. One primary discipline. Linking the simplest life actions to eternal truths. Linking the simplest life actions to eternal truths. This is how we conquer. You're going to spend money. Simple life action. You tie it to an eternal truth. Going to have a conversation with your spouse at the end of the day. Tie that conversation to eternal truth. It is this one primary discipline that enables us to conquer in every one of the simplest life actions. It puts all of them on the right track. Now, let me give you a couple illustrations of this. Spending money. Connect spending money to eternal truths. Know the truths in here that have to do with money and let these truths impact the simple financial decisions every day. If you don't, you will be spending your wages before you've got them. Before they're even in your possession. Tying everything, every simple life action to eternal truths. Keeping promises. You said something to somebody, And boy, this is missing so much today. It used to be that a man was as good as his word. And I think that's still true, but... So if you give your word to do something, it's no longer an option. It's tied to an eternal truth. And what is the eternal truth? I mean, there's bunches of them, but he that voweth a vow, let him defer not to pay it. God has no pleasure in fools. Better pay that which thou hast vowed. Better not to have vowed than not to pay that which thou hast vowed. For this cause, God should be angry with thy words and destroy the work of thy hands. I mean, the consequences of this. So important in eternity is keeping one's word. Being rid of evil command. I'm just coming out with a few here of illustrations. Simple life actions that need to be tied to eternal truths. And this is one of them. Being rid of evil companions. The friend, the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Destroyed. Who you hang with is really important. And that's why women, you should avoid women who gossip. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because if you don't, consequences. Simple life actions tied to eternal truths. Who I speak to, what I allow them to say to me. Jesus said, take heed what you hear, because whatever measure you hear, it's going to be in you. Watch out what you listen to. Men who talk lightly of God, they're not qualified to be my companion. I have to be around them. I have to deal with them. But when we talk here about companionship, being rid of evil command, women who gossip, men who talk lightly of God. Avoiding amusements that shrivel the soul. Now we are in an amusement concentrated culture. So amusements must be tied to some eternal truths. So now you see that on a daily basis now. We not only are having God let us know what's wrong, but we're not taking corrective actions. We're developing disciplines by which we attach simple life actions to eternal facts and truths. Wow, how life is going to change then. And that's why one should get rid of bad books. And music and videos that ruin holy thinking, that ruin holy thoughts, that poison love, that poison the whole idea of home and family. So we develop new disciplines. Let God show us what's wrong. And then develop new disciplines. And I suggest this primary discipline. So watch for number three now, because he opens her ear to discipline. And he commandeth that they return from iniquity. And so now we come to the big subject. And most of you have read the book or at least heard the teaching on iniquity. And most people don't even know what it is. It's one of the four reasons Jesus went to the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And everybody's very aware that we need to conquer our sin, but not much is being done about iniquity. Iniquity is when men play God. Iniquity is when I substitute my will for God's will. And it comes in so many thousands of descriptions. And I'm going to even mention a couple. The scripture, the eternal truth is plain. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. On the first day of the week, let every one of you, what you're doing here this morning is mandated by God. Did you know that? So when a person doesn't come to their body, the body of Christ on a Sunday morning. They haven't sinned, but they have committed iniquity. When we put something else as a substitute for this plain obedience to the command of Scripture, is iniquity, putting our will ahead of His. Well, I don't prefer to be there. I prefer to be somewhere else. Are you really? I'm going to mess with you really bad now. How many promise after the next few sentences you'll still love the preacher? Let me see your hand. I'm just wondering if I should go forth or not. If worship starts at 10 o'clock, it's iniquity to show up at 20 after. It's not a sin. It's not being equal to what we should be equal to. Now, I'm going to let you read the book and figure out the rest of them. There's a bunch. But if there is one thing next to sin that prevents us from living in this newness every day of life, it is iniquity. It is the substituting of human ideas for the divine. It is basically refusing to allow the simplest things of our life to be determined by the eternal truths. Okay. So we need to terminate iniquity. And then, fourthly, that they obey and serve Him. This is the fourth. So here we are. This is the way to be walking in newness of life. Number one, to let God let us know what's wrong, our transgressions, so we can fix them. Develop discipline. And I suggest the primary discipline is to let the details of everyday life be adjusted by the eternal truths. And then to terminate iniquity. And then number four, follow instructions. Obey, just do what God says. Do what God says. Now here is the good news. Are you ready? I want you not to miss what's coming on the screen the rest of this verse. Because here's the results that will happen in your life from walking in this newness of life. Watch it now. Whoops. They shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. Walking in this newness every day makes every day prosperous. Getting divine input, leadership, empowerment every day, not just something that happened before. We've had the power of God three or four times in our life, but every day walking in this newness. So every day ends up producing prosperity. And that prosperity has to do with your marriage. It has to do with your family. It has to do with your business. It has to do with your finances. It has to do with your friendships. It has to do with every facet of your life. I said there was 10,000 plus things I love about God. And we're here on the threshold of another one of them. Where God says, the plans that I've got for you are for good and not for evil. God is good and the devil is bad. Don't ever mix that up. God intends your success, your prosperity, and your life, the rest of your years will be in, whoa. I want to be really careful about giving my own testimony, but let me say this. The greatest thing in the life of my wife and myself together, the greatest thing in our lives is God. We talk about Him every night, every morning, sometimes in the middle of the night. She actually makes me get up and look up scriptures if she can't remember them in the middle of the night. So I keep my iPhone really close to the bed. That's what we talk about. I don't know that there is any pursuit on this planet that can compare to the pursuit of God. Because He says, if you seek Me, you'll find Me. If you'll search for Me with all your heart. And then He says, and I will be found of you. Is there anything higher, holier, more exciting than to be connected to this awesome being of God? Who scatters galaxies into the universe. Scoops out the mountains and sifts up the mountains with a stream. Lays the green carpet down across the field and tacks there with daffodils. Puts a song in the bird's throat. The roar in the lion's lungs. This great being of God wants you connected with Him. Not periodically, but to walk with Him every day in newness of life. To obey Him is, our culture has become resistant to the idea of obeying somebody other than oneself. But to obey God is the same thing as choosing the highest good for yourself. Because all of His instructions come out of the fundamental condition of His character, which is love. He wants what's best, so He says, hey, this is what to do. And if you do this, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years will be in pleasure. But the consequences, if we obey not, we perish by destructive means, and then we die no smarter than we've been when we were children. And so today, happily, my friends, you stand on the threshold of a new year. But what God wants is not just a new year. And that's wonderful. It's like a blank sheet of paper that has no mars or mistakes on it yet. But what God wants for us is a new every day. Every single day. Walking with Him. Talking with Him, responding to Him, giving Him who is the only person smart enough and loving enough to point out what's wrong that I need to change, to adapt and adopt disciplines by which on a careful basis I take the very mundane things of life and link them to eternal truths. And thus get adjustment. stop my iniquity and follow instructions, and your days will be in prosperity and your whole life will be a pleasure. And that's what he offers us if we will learn today to walk in this newness of life. We say amen. Amen.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.